We thank you, hallelujah, Rebo Shota Vasata Rabasiti Hikia, for a fresh anointing. Woo! Receive the fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for this moment where we welcome you as you welcome us. This is worship, amen. And we worship Jesus, the Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this moment right here, right now. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your plan for us. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your comforting us. Come on. Come on, before we enter in, before we go any further, we thank you, Lord God. Come on, we just came out of Thanksgiving. Amen. Every day. Let us not have to wait once a year to be like, oh, let me be thankful every day. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, in everything, give thanks. Let us be a people, a grateful people. Let us learn to give thanks because it's the will of God. Amen. Amen. Let us stand in that place of thanksgiving, giving thanks. I'm reminded sometimes we don't always want to give. I think about children. They don't always want to give, but as a parent that's encouraging, share, give in this. It's better to give than to receive. Let us give unto God and be in the will, in his good and perfect will with him. Amen. Hallelujah. That in that place we receive truth. In that place we receive knowledge. We receive understanding. We receive know-how. We receive instruction. Come on. In that place, being in the will. Hallelujah. Being in his will, still pain may be, and still troubles you may see, and still storms you may see, but just being in the eye, amen, being in his eye, hallelujah, he's the one who's able to do the impossible. He's the one who is able to calm them storms and turn it around in our favor. So let us learn how. Learn. We learn. Let us practice. Giving thanks in all things, giving thanks. I stand, amen. Come on, we stand today giving thanks. Even in the heights of our insecurities, even in the heights of fears, even in the heights of turmoil, even in the heights of strife, even in the heights of stress, even in the heights of feeling and being overwhelmed, I'm going to give thanks to you, God. I'm giving thanks, hallelujah. I give Rosha Tabasiti Arabosotaraya. I give. And guess what happens when you give? You create a reservoir. You create a space where he can feel, where he can give unto us a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I give. We give. Come on. We give. We give thanks. Listen, I even hear the Lord saying, "Give thanks in that place of feeling of good, and give thanks in that place of blessing, and even give thanks in that place of feeling like, oh, I got everything going on. Give thanks in that place too." Okay, score. Hello. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let us turn to 2 Kings as we give thanks. Come on, give thanks. I'm going to thank you as I'm turning to 2 Kings. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to read your word. I thank you for the for when two come together, there you are in the midst, and anything we agree on, it shall be done. I thank you, Lord God. We thank you for a power of agreement that is now at work. Hallelujah. Okay. Ooh, Jesus. 2 Kings. Thank you, Lord. We're going to read chapter 7, but I'm going to start the very last sentence, the very last verse of chapter 6. So right above 7, 2 Kings 7 and 1. Amen. Shall we enter in? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Shall we enter in the truth that what we hear in this place, what you hear in this place, is the Holy Spirit? I'm sensitizing myself that in this place, it's you, Holy Spirit. It's you, Holy Spirit. It's your will for me, Holy Spirit. Come on. Even if it seems too far-fetched, come on, somebody. Even if it seems too fantastical, even if it seems impossible, or I don't know. No, what I won't do is I won't snuff out promises that you have for me because of some growing that I have to do. I won't allow myself to be an enemy to the plans and the purpose that you have for me. Come on, somebody. I won't allow the truth of this world, aka lies, aka deceit, aka negativity, aka in anything and everything that's not matching with the will of God and what God is saying, I won't allow it to influence, color, and distract and get me off. Okay? I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to believe, and I'm going to make and allow and wait for my feelings to catch up. Hello? Come on. Hello, 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 hello. Okay. I know. Come on, we're reading. Come on, come on, come on. We're reading and we're growing in the Lord. Amen. We got good things planned. Hallelujah. Let's go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ooh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I can't just start reading like it's a regular book, yeah. Ooh, shatarabogia. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody said, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Even this moment, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, some may perceive this, some even who may be watching, may perceive this as foolish. Amen. Come on. Things of the spirits are perceived, articulated as foolish to those who are functioning and operating in the natural. Why should I hope in the Lord any longer? Why should I hope in the Lord any longer? This is what the king of Israel is saying. We're about to discover why he's saying such words. But why should I hope in the Lord any longer? Come on. He's talking to one of us, two of us, three of us, some of us, all of us who's feeling discouraged. Why should I hope in the Lord any longer? But Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, somebody say tomorrow about this time. Tomorrow about this time, somebody say tomorrow about this time. Tomorrow about this time, a measure of choice meal shall be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, even if the Lord were to make windows in the sky, could such a thing happen? But he said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat from it. Let's jump down to verse 16. Scoot. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a measure of choice meal was sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed the captain on whose hand on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. The people trampled him to death in the gate, just as the man of God had said when the king came down to him. For when the man of God had said to the king, 2 measures of barley shall be sold for a shekel, and a measure of choice meal for a shekel, about this time tomorrow in the gate of Samaria, the captain had answered the man of God, even if the Lord were to make windows in the sky, could such a thing happen? And he had answered, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat from it. No. It did indeed happen to him. The people trampled him to death in the gate. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for your teachings. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 In Jesus' mighty name. Forgive us, Lord, our sins. Purify us. Sanctify our hearts and our prepare our minds and prepare our receptors that we may receive what you are saying and it may fall on good ground and take fruit in the name of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. About this time tomorrow. About this time tomorrow is what the man of God, the prophet Elisha, said to a dire situation, to a grave situation. He spoke the word of the Lord, saying, about this time tomorrow. Now, before we go any further, what's happening? What's happening in this time? Amen. So let me catch you up. Last season, amen. Last season on about this time tomorrow, the king of Aram was at war with Israel. Amen. In chapter 6, if you start reading on chapter 6, you see that they're at odds. There's a war that's going on. And now something is happening. Amen. And Israel is with God. And so every time the king of Aram would set up a sneak attack, the man of God, Elisha, would let the king know, oh, they planning, the king of Aram is planning at such and such place to attack. And so every time the king of Aram tried to go and do a sneak attack, Israel was prepared. Israel was ready. It's something about walking with the Lord and being on his side. It doesn't mean that troubles, amen, and the enemy won't try or things won't try to rise up. It means that we will see the Almighty fight on our behalf. It means that we will see. It doesn't mean that we're not going to see disease and sickness and famine, amen, and financial hardships pop up. It means that we are going to see Jehovah Jireh, our provider. It means that we are going to see Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, our banner. It means that we are going to see Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Come on! Somebody, I shut that up. Okay, Hallelujah. It means that we're going to receive the secret. We're going to know. We're going to find out. Amen. Hallelujah. It means that what is secretly trying to be orchestrated behind our backs is going to be snuffed out. It's going to be thwarted. It's going to be canceled. That's what it means. Ooh, God is good. This is why we gotta stay in the wheel. Come on, somebody, stay in the wheel. Stay in the wheel. Stay in the wheel. Stay in the wheel. I was gonna veer, but I'm gonna stay on track, okay? So the king Adam started. He started to get bothered. He started to be greatly perturbed. The Bible says in NRSV, his mind was greatly perturbed, and he even went to his officers. Amen. And he said, "Whose side? Who's on the king of Israel's side? Who's standing with us? But you really are with the king of Israel." And one of the officers stood up and said, "No, it's not that. It's Elisha, the prophet, the man of God." It's something about when you walk with God. Amen. He reveals what's in the dark. Ooh, shut up. I hear the Lord say, he reveals us from out of the dark. Come on, somebody. He deliver us from the dark. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know why, but I just see like, I see vision and like, you know, when you're blinded, it's dark. You can't see. But I see God giving vision, giving us a prophetic vision, giving us spiritual vision, giving us a purpose vision, encouraging a vision, like an energy, giving you like energy and stamina, enough to like a second wind, like to keep going, right? Come on, somebody. It'd be like, I can do this. Okay, that's a sidebar. Anyways, so back what's happening in last season. Amen. So he said, no, it's the prophet. It's the prophet Elisha. He's telling the king, he's telling the king what's happening. And so they're prepared for us, right? So then what happens is, is that the king of Aram, he goes and he sends men to try to take down Elisha. But again, there's more, amen, that's with Elisha than with the king. And fast forward, it doesn't happen as the king wants it to happen. Amen. So now, in 2 Kings 6 and 24, it says sometime later. So some time has passed. And now another king rose up, King Ben-Hadad of Aram. And he laid siege on Samaria. Hello. And as that siege continued, a famine happened in Samaria. Mm-hmm. We get into this new season about this time tomorrow, this season. Come on, this season. Come on, somebody say this season. The siege continues, amen, and the famine becomes great. It becomes so great that they're eating and selling a donkey head for 8 shekels of silver. Somebody say 8 shekels of silver for a donkey head. And then they're eating 1/4 of a cab of dove's dung for 5 shekels. This is what they're eating. This is what they're reduced to. The famine is so bad that they're reduced to eating dove's dung and donkey's head. Come on, somebody. God is speaking to us, to those of us, all of us, some of us, one of us, who it's gotten so bad. Come on. It's gotten so bad that you just accept anything. It's gotten so bad or you want something so bad that you're willing to settle and settle and settle and settle because you want that thing so bad. Yeah, God says he's talking to those of us, some of us, one of us, who is in a relational famine, a financial famine, a physical famine, amen, a mental famine. Hallelujah, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on. I just heard like mental health issues. That's in a mental famine. Who's in a career famine. That we even resort to doing things, handling things, even out of character, right? Trying to survive, trying to just make it. God's speaking to us who's weighed down with trying to just make it, trying to just handle that place of being overwhelmed. Okay, I don't know. See, I'm reminded that God's saying that, you know, some areas we could be blessed and everything is good. And then other areas it could be like dry and starved. And so then you're like trying to take from this area to compensate and not have to deal with. I'm hearing and God showing me how we can start dabbling in activities and behaviors because we don't want to have to deal with the famine. Uh-huh. So we can run to that. We can run to substances and things and people and even food. Hello, hello, hello. And just because we don't want to have to deal, we're dealing with the famine today. God's addressing the famine today. Do you believe? Do you believe? Okay. So things are bad now in Samaria, right? Things are horrible in Samaria. Hallelujah. Let's even explore like how horrible it is. So there's this lady that comes up to the king as he's walking on the city wall. And she calls out to the king of Israel with a complaint, with a cry. Hallelujah. This lady, another woman came to her and propositioned her and said, hey, listen, let's take and we cook your child and eat your child today, and then we'll eat my child tomorrow. This is how bad things are. This is how bad things are. God wants us, you, me, to know that he's stepping into the deepest and the baddest things. It's so bad that they're even considering, not just considering, but they did it. She said, okay. And they took her child. This is in the Bible. They took her child. Let me just let y'all know how much is in the Bible. It's chapter 6, starting around verse 26, okay? Okay? They ate her child. And the next day, when it came down to having the meal of the other child, the lady was like, no. Hallelujah. The lady hid her son. Was like, nah, I'm cool. So now the lady whose son that was eaten, she's calling out and crying out to King of Israel, to the King of Israel. And so he tore his clothes as in the Old Testament, the tearing of clothes is like a sign of mourning. Amen. Mm-hmm. Again, who's God? Who is the Holy Spirit speaking to? It's so bad, amen. Things are lost in that you find yourself in a state of mourning, walking around. It said that the Bible says that they could, the king of Israel could be seen walking because he was walking on the city wall. He could be seen having torn his clothes and wearing sackcloth, his mourning clothes. Come on, somebody. Come on. Okay. Come on, come on. So it got so bad that now he wants to kill. In verse in earlier in chapter 6, he reverences the Elisha, the man of God, and calls refers to him as father, a right Lord, amen. Just exalting, seeing not him, but seeing God in him, seeing how God had called him, chose him, reverencing him. Now he wants to kill him. Because of saying that this is your fault. This is your fault. Remember what happened earlier, how Elisha defending and looking after the king of Israel and all those in Israel, right? Are you following me? Okay. So he goes and he sends one of his servants, one of his officers, to Elisha in an attempt to behead him. But Elisha knows that it's coming. Hallelujah, somebody. Before the messenger even gets there, he knows it's coming. And then right after the messenger's footsteps is the king of Israel's footsteps. And that's where we pick up in this new season. Come on. Somebody say, it's my new season. I'm entering into a new season. I don't care how bad or how dry or how long you've been in. I'm entering into a new season. Why should I hope in the Lord any longer? So this is why, where we pick up with the king of Israel saying, why should I hope in the Lord any longer? Which speaks to things have been this way for a long time. But Elisha, now we're here. Now we're in this new season. But Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of choice meal. Come on. Choice meal shall be sold for a shekel. One shekel, when they in a famine, 8 shekels is getting me a donkey's head. And 2 measures of barley for a shekel. Another 1 shekel for 2 measures of barley. When I was spending five shekels for some dove's dung. Come on, somebody. God is turning things around. So what is the bigger picture? First of all, can we just look at the bigger picture of what is Elisha saying? So much so that the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, even if the Lord were to make windows in the sky, could such a thing happen? Even if God, listen to what he's saying, even if God did try to do X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C, 1, 2, and 3, still could that happen? We're talking about the impossible people. We're talking about the impossible people, people of God. We're talking about detaching yourself, ourselves from the situation, detaching ourselves, amen, from what we're seeing and hearing and feeling. For to discover, believe, hope, dream, give thanks in advance for the impossible. Do you hear the instructions that God is calling us to? Believe, hope. Start giving thanks now. Start giving thanks now. Somebody start giving thanks now for your increase. Start giving thanks now for the turnaround. Start giving thanks now for the phone call of the news. Amen. Start giving thanks now for the job. Start giving thanks now. Hallelujah. 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 Rebosotaraya. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Reba Sato Boshia. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Who's been standing in a famine, a financial famine, Thank you, Jesus. Start giving thanks now. What else? I'm reminded of even last week. Well, last week, God brought to light something. What the blind man asked Jesus when Jesus said, "What do you want me to do? Or what do you want from me?" I'm paraphrasing people. The blind man had faith enough to ask for the impossible. He didn't ask for like a blind stick to just help lead me. He didn't ask for money like he asked for, like he was asking and begging for men. He said, "No, wait a minute, this Jesus, you can heal my eyesight." Come on, God wants to, what he's doing is taking us by the hand and leading into this place of increased faith and learning how to walk by faith, see through faith lens. I don't know how long this blind man has been blind. Was he born like this? And even so, if he was, the fact that he didn't allow what seemed to be a permanent condition to kill his faith and miss an opportunity of miracle. Believe. Let us not be like the captain on whose hand the king leaned and said, nah, because you know, even God. Let us not think, ooh. Let us not think that we know God so much or so much better than that we find ourselves having put him in a box and say, nah, because even if God, even if he was to open the windows, that's like somebody who think they know God better than God knows God. Even if God was to open the windows, still can nothing happen like that. But he got what he believed. He said no. And he got that. Be it unto you according to your faith is what my Bible says. What's another component that makes this impossible is the time. The amount of time in which God is working. It was a 24-hour period. Amen. If you and take time yourself to read verses 3 through 15, but if you read that, we see how it was four leprous men who said, "Listen, if we stay here, we're gonna die. If we go in the city, they will, because they were sitting right outside the gate. If we go in the city, we gonna die. If we go to the Arameans camp, we may die, but we may live. So might as well, our best choice, let's go." Hallelujah, somebody. And so God pointed something out to me in that section, and even with these four leprous men, amen, hallelujah, somebody. The short version, in the Old Testament, leprosy, you were cast out of the main society. Amen. Until you were cleansed, because you were deemed unclean. And so until you were cleansed, you were excommunicated. You was cast out, and you had to be in the camp with those who are like you in your condition. Hello. And so God made me aware that they were outside of the gate. So also who God is speaking to in this day is those who are outside of what he showed me was like those who trying to enter into your industry, amen, enter in into your calling or your purpose, and you're just right outside. It's like window shopping. You got enough to look in, but you ain't got enough to go in and purchase. That's God is speaking to those of us. Hello? God is speaking to those of us who have been, cast aside and overlooked and like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. Because he says something. He says something. Hallelujah. He says something. He said that position of outcast, that position, amen, of that them having that leprous condition, they were positioned perfectly to receive the promise of God. So you're not cast out. You're in perfect position. To receive the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not on the short end of the stick. You're in perfect position for exaltation by the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I wanna look because the Holy Spirit, he told me a couple other things. He said, like the leprous men, they didn't have a choice, right? They only had one choice. It looked like they had other choices. I mean, they could have had other choices, but all those choices were dead ends. The one choice that they had came in the form of them being stuck between a rock and a hard place. Came in the form of them being low. What does this mean? What are you saying? What are you saying, Pastor Mickey? What are you saying? God will create a situation where it looks like you have no other choice. And it's because he already gave you the choice. So he had to close off all the other choices. Come on, somebody. Yeah. He had to put you in the disguise of so that fight and that thing of, okay, I'm just gonna go do it. Will come out. Right? He had to, that's his way of pushing you into purpose, pushing you into going. Because the people inside the gate, they just kind of settled to like, okay, this is what it is, y'all here. Well, you got four shekels, I got two, you got three. Come on, let's make it happen. Hello? Let's go in. Okay, I got your two. You got one? Okay, I got one, two, three. Anybody got two? Okay, here, bam, two. We can get some doves dung and split it up. We eat it. It's good. Okay. Put a little salt on it. Hello. But it was the cast out ones who weren't even welcome into that community. They said, if we go in there, we're going to die. That little squeezed place that we feel ourselves in, that suffocating the place, that place of not having no help. No, God had to make it that way. Because he said, I'm using that pain as a tour guide to lead you into. Hello? Because as soon as they stepped out, come on, Israel. The city changed because of these four leprous men. The condition changed because of their faith of stepping out. As soon as they stepped out, the Bible says that the Aramean camp, they the Lord caused a sound of an army to be heard by them. And they thought the king of Israel is rising up. We got to go in haste. Hello? We got to go in haste. So they left, leaving all of their goods. And that's what we picked up in verse 16. Then the people went out and they plundered the camp. Because they left the camp, they left all of the silver and gold, come on, and the horses and the chariots, they left all that. You know what God told me in the midst of that? He said, he's causing your eyes to see opportunities and other eyes to see it as a hassle. They're like, nah, I'm not doing it. Oh, this is an opportunity. Thank you, I'll take it. Come on, y'all. You know what he said? Who is he? God said that the wealth of the wicked, come on, we looking and you seeing, well, it's not fair. They're not even serving the Lord and now they're getting all the, no, the wealth of the wicked stored up for who? You, the righteous. The righteous. Come on, righteous. It's stored up for you. You believe you can have it. You believe you can receive. You better go get it. Okay, I'm just saying. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. We're talking about impossible. We're renewing our minds to what God, what man calls impossible. God says, come on, somebody. Let's make it happen. Let's go and get it. You can do it. You better believe. Hallelujah. Because you are going to eat with your belief system, with your faith, what your faith is serving up. Hello? You're going to eat what's on your faith menu. Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Well, I've been having this hardship and I've been seeing myself this way and you don't know my past and you don't know what I've been through and you don't know my family history and you don't know generational curses. Come on, somebody. Okay, believe in that. Believe in that. You're going to continue to eat that. See, even in saying that, what I heard was those things are your God. Those feelings are your God. That trouble is your God. Right? This famine to the captain on whose hand the king leaned was his God. And we can even take that to the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the King of Kings, and say, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. I'm reminded in the Synoptic Gospels of a father whose son was grievously vexed by an evil spirit. And he went to the disciples first, amen, while Jesus was on the mountain. But the disciples couldn't deliver this boy from the evil spirits. And so when Jesus came, Jesus was like, what's going on, amen? And in the conversation between the father and Jesus, the father says, if you can. And Jesus' response was, I can. Do you believe? And he said, Lord, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. It was his unbelief that spoke and said, if you can. Come on. Jesus can do anything, everything, all things. So what if we haven't seen it before? Well, I mean, that ain't nothing like that ever happened in my profession or in my industry. Oh, they say you got to go to school and you got to do X, Y, and Z. Okay, continue to eat that. We're only cutting ourselves short. Come on. Let's go higher. Let's go wider. Let's believe more. God is able. God is able. God is able. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ever ask, think, or imagine. According to that power that's working in us. Come on, about this time tomorrow, Let us receive right now. About this time tomorrow, this famine, it ain't mine either. It ain't mine. I'm not claiming this famine. This famine in the form of not having money, talking about I'm broke. Nope, I'm not claiming to. I'm prospering. I'm prosperous, right? This a famine in A, B, C, D, I'm anxious, I'm stressed, no, I'm not claiming that. I'm speaking the truth, and then I'm seeing God, and I'm allowing God, and I'm creating space to allow God. So I'm going to be like the man of God, Elisha. And speak life. And speak to the situation about this time. It doesn't matter how grievous and how great and how bad it looks. Lord God, I know that you are able. Lord God, you are able. So God, we thank you that you are speaking about this time tomorrow, that about this time tomorrow, there's a plan that you have for us. There's your purpose that is being poured out on this earth and in our lives. We thank you, oh God, that about this time tomorrow for a turnaround, about this time tomorrow, a strengthening, about this time tomorrow, a deliverance, about this time tomorrow, a breakthrough, about this time tomorrow, increase, about this time tomorrow, a more than enough blessing. About this time tomorrow, a more than enough opportunity. About this time tomorrow, correction in those distorted places. Amen. About this time tomorrow. About this time tomorrow, a boldness coming on us. About this time tomorrow. I'm like, no, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna do. About this time tomorrow, I'm stepping out on faith. About this time tomorrow, I'm encouraged. About this time tomorrow, my help cometh from the Lord. I receive the help. About this time tomorrow, that which I've been believing and praying for come into pass. About this time tomorrow, my relationship with you going higher and higher, deeper and deeper, wider and wider to a more intimate place. About this time tomorrow, about this time tomorrow, about this time tomorrow. About this time tomorrow. What man calls impossible, I'm seeing, touching, smelling, eating. What they say is impossible. About this time tomorrow, your miracles, signs, and wonders. In Jesus' mighty name, may the Lord bless you as you go into this week. May it be rich, may it be plenty, may it be that of renewal and that of refreshing and that of God's miracles, signs, and wonders. May the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift his countenance toward you, and give you his peace. Yaberekeka Adonai Vishmereka, Yaer Adonai Panavalacha Vikoneka, Yisa Adonai. Shalom. God bless you in Jesus' name. Shalom, shalom. Amen. Love you guys. Be blessed to see you next week. Hallelujah.
You're listening to Thank You, Jesus, with Mika, only on LA Talk Radio.